Welcome to the fourth installment of an advanced overview of Hilchos Bishul based on Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon's Sefer Shabbos. In this year, we're going to discuss the concept of Bishul Achar Bishul, which means re-cooking a food on Shabbos. The concepts discussed in this year will allow you to answer the following practical Shabbos questions. First, are you allowed to put a cold soup? Let's say you have a cold soup which you'd like to heat up on Shabbos day. Are you allowed to put it on a hot plate? Next, would you be allowed to heat up a chicken with congealed fat or congealed sauce on a hot plate on Shabbos day? Is there a way in which you can prepare tea which is permissible according to all halachic opinions? And finally, are you allowed to put salt or sugar into a kli rishon, into a pot that is either directly on the fire now or at some point in the past was directly on the fire? Until now in these shiurim, we've been dealing with foods that have not yet been cooked. And we've seen at great length that it would be forbidden to put uncooked foods into a kli rishon, into something that had once been on the fire, a container that had once been on the fire, even if now it is not on the fire. Generally speaking, Ashkenazim for sure, and many Sephardim, are going to be stringent and not even put a raw food into a kli sheni, into a container which has the contents of something which had once been on the fire. And some are even stringent not to put raw foods into a kli shlishi, which is two steps removed from a container that had been on the fire. And that's particularly true when it comes to kali abishul, things which cook easily. What about things that have already been cooked? Is there a problem to re-cook such things on Shabbos? The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Hayom and Beis in Shabbos tells us, Kol Sheba Bechamin Me Erev Shabbos, anything which had been cooked in hot water on Erev Shabbos, Shoyrin Oysoi Bechamin B'Shabbos, can be re-soaked in hot water on Shabbos. Meaning to say that anything that was already cooked, it's okay to re-cook it on Shabbos. So it emerges then that there's no issue with bishul achar bishul, no issue with re-cooking something. We see this also in the Mishnah in Shabbos of Lamed Vav Mibbeis, which tells us that once you took a pot off the fire, in certain circumstances you can put it back on the fire. Now, according to this, it would seem that if something is completely cooked, there's no issue of bishul with respect to this item, and it would be permissible to put it even into a kli rishon, even into a container that had been on the fire. Nonetheless, there's a rabbinic prohibition against putting anything, even something that had already been cooked, into a kli rishon, which is currently on the fire. And the concern there is that's mechsi kimavashel. It looks as if you're cooking. People will think that it's permissible to put things into a kli rishon. So the dispensation to cook something which is already cooked is only pertinent to a kli rishon which is not on the fire. Meaning to say, let's say you had a pot which had been on the fire and is now very hot, you'd be able, or let's say you had a frying pan that had been on the fire and had been very hot, you wouldn't be able to put a piece of raw steak into the frying pan which had been on the fire but is now currently not on the fire. However, you would be able to put a piece of cooked steak into this hot frying pan which is no longer on the fire. The question is though, what's the scope of this rule that ein bishul achar bishul? Is it the case that you can recook all foods on Shabbos? Or are you only allowed to recook some foods on Shabbos and not others? Many Rishonim make a distinction between solid foods and liquid foods. We already see grounds in the Gemara to say that liquids would be problematic to recook. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Aleph tells us, Mipneima amru ein toimnim bedover she'enim meisif hevel misha hashecha. Why did the rabbis forbid you to insulate a pot with something which will not add heat once Shabbos has come in? Gzeira shemiratiach. The concern is that it might come to boil. Meaning to say, let's say that you had a hot chicken soup on the fire on Erev Shabbos. Let's say at 6 p.m. and Shabbos comes in at 7. And then at 7 o'clock, right before Shabbos came in, you turned off the fire, and now it's on Shabbos itself, you go ahead and you wrap up your pot with towels. So the rabbis say you could only wrap up your pot with towels before Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. And the Gemara cryptically tells us the rabbinic concern is that it might come to boil. Rashi explains, Gzeira shema yimtzak deirasa shenitzdanana. The concern is that somebody might find that his pot has cooled on, when he wants to insulate it on Shabbos, and then the yartichena trila, And then on Shabbos itself, he'll reboil his pot. V'nimtzim v'ashal b'Shabbos. And it'll emerge that the person had cooked on Shabbos. Meaning to say, we're concerned that perhaps before the person insulates his pot, he's going to reheat the pot of chicken soup on the fire, and thereby he's going to transgress the prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. But the question is, how is it possible that the person is going to violate the prohibition of Bishul? After all, the chicken soup was already cooked, and don't we know that you can't violate Bishul on something that was already cooked? Ein Bishul lachar Bishul, there's no problem to recook foods. So from here, the Rush infers that according to Rashi, there is a problem of recooking a cold item. Or to put it in the technical jargon, there is an isser of bishul achar bishul bedavar lach with a cold item which has cooled down. The Rush says as follows. The Rashi pirish, Rashi explained, le'il, gzeir shem yartiach gdeira shenitztanana. The concern with insulating a food item on Shabbos is that you might come to heat up a cooled off pot. Lubmandu, from this we learn, she'af b'tav shol shenis bashal v'nitztanein shayich be'bishul. That with a dish which had been cooked and is now cooled off, it's possible to cook it. Kevan sheyesh b'mashke, if there's liquid inside the dish. Ho damrin kol sheba b'cham v'shabbos. How then do we deal with the Mishnah Daf Kuf Mem Hei, which tells us that explicitly that anything that was soaked in hot water before Shabbos can be re-soaked on Shabbos, says the Rush, Hainu Davar Yavesh. That speaks only about a solid food. Rabbi Yonah also explicitly says that there's an issue of bishul achar bishul by a liquid, that recooking a liquid is problematic on Shabbos. He says, a minority of people make a mistake on Shabbos. That they insulate a hot pot of water on Shabbos in order to put it into a pot if the pot dries out. Upamim, sha echad in yadzeh ledesbay. And sometimes, let's say your chalent, which has begun to dry, will be yadzeh ledesbay. It'll be hot enough that the hand will recoil from it. Whereas the kettle of water will not be yadzeh ledesbay. Umisbashal zeh bazeh, and one will cook the other. V'nimtzu mevashlan b'shabbos. And will emerge that you've cooked on Shabbos. The upshot being that even though the water in the kettle was once cooked, since it's now cooled off, when you reheat it by putting it into the chalent, you'll have violated the prohibition of cooking on Shabbos, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. The Ran, however, rejects Rabbeinu Yonah's position. He says, "V'lo yadayti me'ayin lo." I'm not sure where Rabbeinu Yonah invented this position. Sharei kol sheba b'cham milifnei Shabbos, sharei nesei b'cham b'Shabbos. We have an explicit mission which tells us that anything that was cooked before Shabbos can be recooked on Shabbos, afal pishutzen and gamur, even though now it's completely cold. V'lo yadayti hefresh bin mayim mivushalom mivushal acher, v'tzarech iyun ubedika. And I'm not sure what Rabbeinu Yonah's grounds were for distinguishing between water which was once cooked and is now cooled to some other dish. And we need to really analyze where Rabbeinu Yonah constructed this position from. According to the Ran, it's quite obvious that there's no issue of recooking even a liquid, and that's a simple understanding of the Mishnah, which should distinguish between different types of foods. Nonetheless, the Tor agrees with Rabbeinu Yonah Shita. The Tor, the precursor of the Shulchan Aruch, says that bishul achar bishul recooking is problematic in the case of a liquid. In contrast, though, most Rishonim don't record any distinction between recooking a solid or a liquid, and the implication would be if there's no issue with recooking anything at all, in which case, let's say your chicken soup was cold on Shabbos day, or your vegetable soup was cold on Shabbos day, you would be allowed to put it back on the fire, since at one point it had once been cooked. And that's the position of many heavy-hitting Rishonim, like the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, the Rashba, the Ritva, and the Ran. The Shulchan Aruch, however, is stringent, And he forbids recooking a liquid which had once been cooked and cooled down. So practically speaking, you will not be able to reheat a chicken soup Shabbos day, which is a very common question that rabbis get. Can I please reheat my chicken soup? We have nothing else to eat. The answer is no. The Shulchan Aruch says, in the Mishnah Nuches Sif Dalid, Tavshil Shiniz Bashal Kol Tzarkai, a dish which has been completely cooked, Yesh Bay Mishum Bishal Im Nitzdani. If it cooled down and you want to reheat it, you'll have violated the prohibition of Bishul, of cooking on Shabbos. But when is it the case that you stand in violation of the prohibition of cooking for something that was already cooked? Only if the dish in question has liquid. Aval. If something was once cooked and it's a dry solid, like let's say you had chicken, which is cold, but it was already cooked, you would be allowed to reheat that on Shabbos day. Mutter l'shroisei b'cham b'Shabbos. It's permissible to soak that in hot water on Shabbos. It emerges then that the Shulchan Aruch rules like the Rush's understanding within Rashi and against the Rambam and most Rishonim. And he holds that only with respect to a solid do we say that recooking is okay if the once cooked solid has been cooled. But when it comes to a liquid which was cooked and is cooled, you would not be allowed to reheat that liquid on Shabbos. What grounds this argument between Rashi on the one hand and Rambam on the other? What would be the rationale for saying that recooking a liquid is problematic, whereas recooking a solid is not? One possibility is that it's a matter of preference. Most people prefer to have a hot liquid hot. For example, people, as a rule, don't like to eat cold chicken soup or cold vegetable soup. They want their soup to be hot. Whereas, they'll be more okay to eat a cold piece of schnitzel. The thing is, this is somewhat of a weak explanation because preferences vary. And we can find a lot of cases of cold liquids which people will be happy to eat. Let's say, cold fruit soup. Whereas we can find solids, let's say, meat with congealed fat, which people will not want to eat cold. Another possibility is a more chemical approach. When you cook a piece of raw meat, the raw meat fundamentally changes. The raw meat is now cooked meat, whether it's hot or cold. Whereas, if you heat up a cold liquid, chemically what's happening to the liquid is that the molecules are spreading farther apart. So when the liquid cools, it returns to its prior chemical status. In which case, recooking a solid isn't significant because you haven't made a fundamental change when you recook the solid. Whereas by the liquid, the fundamental change happens every time you reheat it, and the fundamental change goes away every time the liquid cools. Because by the liquid, what really matters is not the fact that you've changed something in the liquid, but rather that you've made it hot. Alternatively, you could formulate this as, is the change that was generated by the cooking still perceptible and obvious? By a piece of meat, or by really by any solid, say like by a potato, once the solid has been cooked, even if it cools, the cooking is still obvious. The cooking is still present. Whereas by a liquid, once the liquid is cooled, in most cases, the cooking is not present, the cooking is not obvious. So that's a possible way to explain the rationale for the opinion of Rashi the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah, and as the Shulchan Aruch rules, that liquids and solids should be judged differently. That solids, we would say, there's no problem if you recook them, because recooking doesn't do anything very significant. Whereas by liquids, recooking them would be a significant act. So we've said that yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. There is an issue with recooking a liquid. The question is, at what point has a liquid lost its status of being cooked such that reheating it is considered recooking it? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows. In Shinur Duches Sif Dalad we learn, Tavshil Sinir Bashal Kol Tzarkai, Yesh Bay Mishum Bishol Im Nitztani. A dish which was fully cooked is subject to being cooked if it cooled. But the question is, what does cooled mean? Does cooled mean that it cooled down all the way? So elsewhere, it's pretty clear that the Shulchan Aruch holds that cool just means that it dropped below the temperature of Yad Soledes, which for our purposes is going to be dropping below the temperature of 175 degrees Fahrenheit. In the Shulchan Aruch, we learn, Kli sheyesh bei dover cham, sheyad Soledes bei mutter la niche b'shabes al gabe kedera hatmuna. A container which has something hot in it, such that the hand would recoil from it, it's permitted to put that kli, but to put that container on top of an insulated pot on Shabbos. Meaning to say that the temperature needs to be Yatzuleh, this temperature needs to be 175 degrees Fahrenheit, such that you won't be transgressing some Isser Bishul by doing this action, by putting it on the insulated pot. And if you would put it on an insulated pot and it's below 175 degrees Fahrenheit, then according to the Beis Yosef, according to Shulchan Aruch, you would have transgressed the prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah summarizes the Shulchan Aruch position as follows. He says, "Im nitztani, if it cooled, haynu she'ein hayad zeled zbayim," meaning to say that the hand would not recoil from it. "Af shehu tzas chamadayin," even though it's still a little bit warm. "Avol im hayad zeled zbayim," but if your hand would recoil from touching this pot. "Af she nitztani mer sichusay," even though it cooled from being boiling. "Leishayich bei bishul oyd," this liquid is no longer in the category of being cooked. "The b'chal reseichu," because so long as it's yad soleda, so long as it's above 175 degrees Fahrenheit, it's still in the category of boiling. "The ein bishul acher bishul," and there's no issue re-cooking a liquid in such a case. "The kol zeh udasa mechaber," and that's all, says the Mishnah Berurah, the position of the Shulchan Aruch. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get this position from? Where did the Shulchan Aruch get the idea that something is considered re-cooked, or something has lost its status of being cooked once it drops below Yad Soledis? So Rav Rimon suggests that the Shulchan Aruch derived his position from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah and Bava Basra, who we met before in the Shurim, protested against the practice of insulating a hot bottle of water on Erev Shabbos, and then on Shabbos pouring that hot water into a Kli Rishon, which was on the fire. Meaning, for example, let's say you had a chalent that was on the fire, and the liquid in the chalent began to evaporate, so your chalent would burn. So what they would do is that they would have a thermos of hot water insulated from before Shabbos, and then pour the water from the thermos into the chalent in order to rehydrate it and make sure that it wouldn't burn. So Rabbi Yonah takes issue with this practice because he tells us, "Shekein pa'amim sha'echad ein hayad zeled zbayim." At times, one container will not be yad zeled zbayim, meaning say that the thermos of water won't be yad zeled zbayim, meaning the thermos of water, let's say, will be at 110 degrees, and the chalent on the fire will be very hot. "Ve'echad zeled zbayim," and the others say the chalent is, in fact, yad zeled zbayim, it's above 175 degrees, and one will cook the other. But the implication of Rabbeinu Yonah is that the problem with recooking a liquid which cooled is only relevant when the heat descended, when the heat dropped below Yad Soledis. Even without Rabbeinu Yonah, the Shulchan Aruch's position does seem very reasonable, because we've established that in order for a liquid to be considered cooked, it needs to hit the level of Yad Soledis. So it would be reasonable that the inverse, if it drops below Yad Soledis, it would lose its cooked status, such that if you now heated it back up to Yad Soledis or above, you would have violated the prohibition of cooking. In contrast to the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah takes a very lenient view. In Siman Shin Luches, Sifta Tesvav, the Ramah writes, "V'yesh mekilin loymar, the kol she'ein noisn al gabe eish aikira mamush, rak samuch loim." So long as you don't put your dish directly on the fire or the stovetop, but only close to it, afilu nitztanein mutter, even if it cools off, it's permissible to put this dish a little bit next to the fire. V'nagul hakel b'zeh im loy nitztanein l'gamri. And the Rambam tells that the practice among Ashkenazim is in fact to be lenient if your dish is not completely cooled. K'mik shiksaf yileil simration gimel, as the Rambam has already wrote in section 253 of Hilchos Shabbos. So the Rambam's view is that so long as your dish is not completely cooled, there's no issue by when you reheat it of bishul, of cooking it. But that's so long as you don't violate the concern of mechsi kimevashel, of making it look like you're cooking, which you can resolve by just not putting your dish directly on the fire, but next to the fire. So here we're going to have to ask two questions on the Rambam's position. First of all, what's the rationale for saying that if something hasn't completely cooled, then reheating it is not going to be considered re-cooking it? After all, the Shulchan Aruch's rationale makes a lot of sense. If we said the threshold for cooking was Yad Soledis Bo, then if something dropped below Yad Soledis, it's reasonable to say that bringing it back to Yad Soledis is considered re-cooking. Another thing we'll have to understand is we'll have to try and characterize, which I have to try to formalize more concretely, what does it mean that something hasn't completely cooled? Let's first discuss the rationale for why does the Rama thinks that if something hasn't completely cooled, that reheating it wouldn't be considered cooking. So here, we'll discuss two approaches. The first is that of the Igle Tal, who reads the Rama to say that if a liquid had completely cooled, then it would be biblically forbidden to reheat it. Just that if it hasn't yet completely cooled, then we don't consider it to have lost its cook status, in contrast to the position of the Shulchan Aruch. So let's go through the Igle Tal's view. If the Igle Tal understands, the Rama fundamentally rules, like the more stringent Rishonim, that a liquid which cooled down has lost its cooked status, and it would be subject to the prohibition of Bishul Achar Bishul Min HaTorah, that recooking it would be biblically considered cooking. And that's also, by the way, how the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Alter Rebbe, understands it, that recooking a cooled liquid would be an Isser D'Oraisa. Nonetheless, according to the Rama, so long as a dish hasn't completely cooled, it hasn't lost the cook status. Let's read the Igle Tal inside. This Igle Tal tells us, when it comes to a biblical prohibition, we're stringent like those poskim. But when it hasn't completely cooled, even though we are stringent like those poskim who say that recooking a liquid is a isur d'oraisa, if it has not completely cooled, and some people would still be able to eat it, given that it's not completely cooled off, we're no longer in the ballpark, in the range of violating biblical prohibition. Because this is no different than if you had, say, a piece of meat which had been cooked to Meichel Ben Drusai, meaning, let's say, that you had a burger that was half-cooked, that if you further cooked it, there's no further issue of cooking it biblically because it's already past the cooking threshold, and this is just adding something to it. According to the Igle Tal, so effectively the Igle Tal is saying that if you have a cooked liquid which did not completely cool, it's functionally similar to a solid food which are already past the threshold of cooking, such that if you cook it more, there's no issue of cooking it min haTorah. However, there's a question which we've already raised, which seems to be like a challenge on the Igle Tal's understanding, which is that if something passes the threshold of Yad Soledes, then you're considered to have cooked it. So if something cooled below Yad Soledes, and you bring it up to Yad Soledes again, wouldn't that be considered cooking? So the Igle Tal responds that we need to distinguish between the criterion for creating the status of cooking and the criterion of undoing the status of cooking. In order to define a cool liquid as cooked, it needs to hit the threshold of the Yad Soledes. However, after it's already hit this threshold and it's defined as cooked, then it doesn't lose its status until it's completely cooked, at least according to the Shulchan Aruch. The Chazon Ish takes a more radical view in the Rama. Let's just recall that the Rama said that if you have a liquid which cooled, as long as it's not completely cooled, it's okay to reheat the liquid. The Chazon Ish tells us that fundamentally, according to the Rama, there's no issue to reheat a liquid which was once cooked and cooled. So the Chazon Ish holds that the Rama rules, like most Rishonim who hold, like this, for example, the Rambam, who hold, Ein Bishol Achar Bishol B'davar Lach, that even by a liquid, there's no issue when it comes to recooking. Reading the Chazon Ish inside, he tells us, because of Rama, the Rama writes, the Anan Noegim Lokel Kedas HaRashba V'Aran. The way the Chazon Ish takes the Rama is that the Rama is lenient like the Rashba in the Ram, such that even if you have a liquid which cooled, there's no issue of recooking it. The question is, if that's the case, then why would the Rama not allow you to heat up your cold chicken soup on Shabbos day? After all, the Rama holds there's no issue of recooking a once cooked cold liquid. Chazon Ish tells us, the Rama did not want people to make a mistake, an error, to heat up raw liquids on Shabbos. So for that reason, he didn't allow you to heat up anything that's cold, whose heat is not recognizable. Because people won't necessarily know that this cold dish that you're putting on the fire, or putting on the hot plate, was once cooked. Meaning to say that in principle, the Rama would allow you to heat up your cold chicken soup on Shabbos Day. However, the Rama is concerned that when people see you putting a cold soup on the heat on Shabbos, they're going to think that you could heat up a cold soup which had never been cooked before. In contrast, let's say you have chicken or meat which had been cooked in the past, or salmon for that matter. Since it's clear that the chicken was once cooked, even if it's cold right now, people are not going to think that it's okay to put raw chicken on the fire on Shabbos, because cooked meat looks very different than raw meat, whereas raw soup doesn't necessarily look so different from cooked soup. So practically speaking, what comes out is that the Rama would allow you to put a lukewarm liquid on the fire, or a lukewarm liquid on your Shabbos hot plate, but would not allow you to put a cold liquid on the fire. So we see that within the Rama, there's an argument between the Iglita and the Chazon Ish of whether the Rama fundamentally holds that reheating a completely cooled liquid on Shabbos would be considered a biblical prohibition or not. According to the Iglita, the Rama would hold that reheating a liquid on Shabbos is a biblical prohibition if completely cooled. Whereas, according to the Chazon Ish, if it completely cooled, the Rama thinks that it's perfectly okay to reheat it. It's just that we don't allow you to reheat it because we're concerned that you might heat a never-before-heated raw liquid. So one important distinction between the Iglital's reading of the Rama and the Chazon Ish's reading of the Rama is, are you allowed to ask a non-Jew to heat up your cold chicken soup on Shabbos? Let's say it's Shabbos Day and you have no hot food in the house, or you're really craving a chicken soup, or chicken soup will go bad if it's not heated up. Can you ask a non-Jew in the area to heat up the chicken soup for you? According to the Chazon Ish, it would be permissible to reheat the chicken soup as long as you ask the non-Jew to put your cold chicken soup on the fire. Whereas according to Iglital, it would be forbidden to ask the non-Jew to reheat the chicken soup because reheating the chicken soup is biblically prohibited. So to summarize, are you allowed to reheat your soup on Shabbos? If you're Sfardi and you follow the Shulchan Aruch, then you would not be allowed to put your soup back on unless it hasn't dropped below 175. Meaning, the moment that it's dropped below 175 degrees Fahrenheit, it's not okay to put it back on the hot plate. In contrast, if you're Ashkenazi, you'd be allowed to put your soup back on the fire, back on the hot plate, so long as it hasn't completely cooled. So what does it mean that it hasn't completely cooled? So the Rama tells us, Aser Loimar Le'en Yehudi, you can't ask a non-Jew to heat up your pot if it's cooled. Meaning, if you did so, it would be forbidden to eat the soup that was reheated by the non-Jew, even if it's now cooled. If your pot had not cooled off so much, that it would still be fitting to eat. If the non-Jew reheated the soup, which was still fitting to eat, it's permissible to eat it. So according to this, the Shulchan Aruch writes that a Jew as well, who wanted to reheat a pot that had cooled, would be allowed to reheat it so long as it's ro'i adayin lecho machmas chamimusay, it's still fitting to eat given its heat. So now, what does it mean that it's still fit to eat given its heat? Meaning, can you also eat cold soup? So Moshe Feinstein explains that what the shear that the Rama and Shulchan Aruch have give of roi lechol machas chamimusay means that it's hot enough to eat if you're looking to eat hot soup. Meaning that you wouldn't say the soup is lukewarm, the soup is cool. You call the soup hot. And Rosh Hashanah Arbach adds that what we mean by hot soup is that most people call this hot, not that one strange person will call this lukewarm soup hot. Notably, however, the Chazon Ish is more lenient than the Shulchan Aruch Rav. And the Chazon Ish writes that so long as it's clear the soup was once cooked, meaning let's say there's a little bit of steam coming out of the soup, or that the pot is hot to the touch, even if the pot is lukewarm and you wouldn't call this hot soup, you wouldn't want to eat it as a bowl of hot soup, Chazon Ish says as long as it's clear that it was once cooked, it's okay to put it back on the fire. And that seems consistent with the Chazon Ish's view that the Rama doesn't fundamentally think that there's an issue to re-cook a liquid on Shabbos. His only concern is that you might come to put something that was never cooked on the fire on Shabbos. But if you can tell that it was once cooked, then it would in fact be okay to re-cook it. Avni Nezer records a very interesting practice that some people try to use as a trick in order to reheat their cold chicken soup from the previous Friday night. Let's say that you had a hot chicken soup Friday night, and then the chicken soup cooled down as it tends to do by Shabbos morning. And you want to have a hot chicken soup Shabbos day. So what would they do? They would take water from their urn, and your urn is a kli rishon, but then they would put the water into a thermos, which is now a kli sheni. Then they would take the water from the kli sheni and pour it into their pot of soup. Now the pot of soup is lukewarm. And we said that according to the Ramah, kol sha'adayin roi lechol machmas chamimusai, so long as it's still fitting to eat given its heat, meaning to say that it's still a little bit lukewarm, it would be okay to put it back on the fire. So the rationale was, well, now I have a lukewarm soup, so surely I can reheat it. But Avinezer says this is not a good thing to do, and of course it makes sense to anybody who examines this critically that it looks like you're doing a trick. You're taking a soup that was cold and artificially making it warm so you can reheat it on Shabbos, so Avinezer says this is not okay. So let's recap what we've learned so far. We've learned that there's a discussion of bishul acher bishul, which is there an issue to recook something? Is there an issue to cook something that had once been cooked? We learned that by a davar yavesh, by a salad food, there's no issue of recooking the salad even if the thing cooled off. The reason being that the chemical change that was affected in the salad food remains, and there's no genuine significance to recooking. However, things are much more complicated when it comes to a davar lach, when it comes to a recooking a liquid. According to the Ramban, most Rishonim, there's no issue of recooking a liquid even if it cooled off. So meaning, let's say you had a chicken soup, you would be allowed to reheat the chicken soup. However, according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, if your chicken soup cooled off, if any liquid cooled off, there would be a prohibition if you recooked it. Given that, at least the Rav Yimon explains it, the chemical change was created by heating up the food dissolves when the food cools. Because when you heat a liquid, what you primarily want is for the liquid to be hot, you're not so concerned, or at least you're not as concerned, or it's not as significant that there be a chemical change in the liquid. So how do we paskin? How do we rule? Do we say that there's an issue of yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, or in bishul achar bishul b'davar lach? Is there an issue to recook a liquid or not? So according to Shulchan Aruch rules like Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah that there is in fact an issue to recook a liquid which had cooled. And therefore, once a liquid is dropped below 175 degrees, once it's dropped below Yad Soledes, you'd be prohibited to recook it. However, the Ramah's position is a little bit more complex. The Ramah says that you shouldn't reheat a liquid dish like a soup that had cooled. However, so long as it hasn't cooled off completely, so long as it's still a little bit hot, you would be able to reheat it. So the Ramah is much more lenient than the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch says that once it's dropped below 175, you would not be able to reheat it. Whereas according to the Ramah, so long as it's still a little bit hot, you would be able to reheat it. And the question is, what's the rationale? What explains the Ramah? So the Igle Tal takes a more conservative view in the Ramah, and he says that the Ramah holds that there is an issue of bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, there is an issue with recooking a liquid, just that we don't say that it's lost its original status of having been cooked until it cools off completely. However, the Chazon Ish takes a more lenient view in the Ramah, a more liberal view in the Ramah, and he says the Ramah fundamentally paskins like the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramah holds that there's no issue of recooking a cooled liquid min haTorah, biblically. However, rabbinically, the rabbi said that you can't heat up a chicken soup, say, that it cooled completely, because then people might think that you'd be able to cook raw soups on Shabbos. So we've established that there are two relevant categories when it comes to cooking on Shabbos. There's the category of lach, the category of a liquid, which is going to be more stringent, and according to Shulchan Aruch, there will be yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. There will be a concern of recooking a liquid. And a davar yavish, a solid food, which is going to be much more lenient, and according to the simple understanding in the Shulchan Aruch, you will be able to recook a solid food. The question is, there are some problem cases, some things which seem to be neither here nor there. Is it cholent, a davar lach or a davar yavish? Is it a liquid or a salad? What about a piece of meat which produces a lot of fat, which produces a lot of oil when you heat it up? Is that a davar lach or a davar yavish? Is that a solid or a liquid? What about a meatball stew? is that a solid or liquid? So we're going to need some rule of thumb. We're going to need some general rule for judging a given dish to see whether it's considered a solid or a liquid. And here we have contradictory implications in the Beis Yosef, and these are going to lead to contradictory views within the poskim, within the latter of the halacha decisors. In Siman Reish and Gimel, in section 253, the section of Shulchan Aruch, which discusses the rabbinic prohibitions in the cooking, the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbi Yerucham says, Kol Sherubay Reitev, anything that is majority sauce, umitstamik viyafalai, and if you heat it up, it gets better, meaning it improves with added cooking. When you put it back onto a stovetop and it continues to cook and improve, that's considered cooking. So according to the basis of insemination Gimel, it seems the definition of a liquid and a solid is in accordance with the majority of the dish, meaning if most of the dish is a liquid, then it's considered a davar lach, it's considered a liquid. And most of it's solid, it's considered a davar yavish. However, elsewhere in Siman Shin Yud Ches and Siman Reish Yud Ches, in Siman Shin Yud Ches is the Siman which discusses Bishul Midoraisa, the Beis Yosef quotes a more stringent view of Rabbeinu Yerucham, and he says, Kol davar sheyesh beiretiv, anything which has sauce, umitstamik v'yafaloi v'hutzainin, and if you would cook it more, it would improve. And it's currently cold. If you put it back on your stovetop and it improves as it cooks, meaning, for example, a cholent, which the longer you cook it, the better it tastes. Or a roast, that the longer you roast it, the better it tastes. Having vashel gomer, by putting that dish on the stove, you would in fact be cooking. According to this version of Rabbeinu Yerucham, you can't have any sauce in the dish at all. And anything which does have sauce in the dish is considered a davar lach, considered a liquid, such that recooking it would be problematic. So meaning, if 90% of your dish was meatballs and 10% was sauce, then putting your cold meatballs back on the hot plate in Shabbos would be forbidden. Now, it's notable that the version of Rabbeinu Yerucham we have seems to cohere with the more stringent quotation of Shulchan Aruch. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, "Im yesh baraitev, if there is any sauce, lekol davar sheish baraitev, anything that has sauce inside of it, is considered a davar lach, is considered a liquid for the purposes of cooking on Shabbos." Nonetheless, the Minchas Kohen rules that we should follow the more lenient ruling in Siman Reish and Gimel, and we should go after the majority of the dish. If the majority of the dish is solid, let's say 65% of the dish or 55% of the dish is solid, even if the other 45% is liquid, you would be able to reheat the dish on Shabbos. Says Menachas Kohen. V'nirali, sha'afilu yesh ma'at shumani marak, b'dav shenish basha kol tzarkai, even if there's a little bit of fat or soup or liquid in something that was completely cooked, Im kolzeh, nonetheless, muter lanichin neged amadura, you're allowed to put it close to the fire, oy l'shreisi bechamen, or soak it in hot water. Sharei ein lucha basar, she'ein mol v'shemen shuman yaitze mimenu. There's never going to be meat which doesn't have a little bit of fat or oil exuding from it. Im kolzeh, nonetheless, nidin l'davar yavish. We consider the piece of meat to be a solid food. For example, let's say you had a barbecue. You made a barbecue Friday afternoon and then had your hot dogs and steaks and chickens on Friday night. If you then put the barbecued meat back into a pan and reheat it on a hot plate or reheat it on a blech on Shabbos day, you'll often find a lot of soupy stuff collecting at the bottom. But nonetheless, says the Mrs. Cohen, this is considered a davar yavish. So he says, Venira, it seems to me, shekol shaharoyv, hu davar yavish, so long as most of the dish is a salad, afal pi sheyesh bektasreitiv, even though there's a little bit of sauce in the dish, lo yishayich bebishol, there's no concern of cooking. V'chein mistaber, and says the Menachas Kohen, that seems to make sense, shekol sheruba yavish, nidin li yavish, whatever is mostly solid would be considered solid, v'kol sheruba yavish, Nidain l'davar lach, and whatever is primarily sauce will be considered a liquid. So the question is, what accounts for this position? What accounts for the claim that if something is primarily solid, we'll consider it a solid? If something is primarily liquid, we'll consider a liquid, even if there's other solid food in the dish. So here we have at least three explanations in the Achronim. The first is the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim suggests that if you only have a little bit of sauce and it's primarily solid, then the dish is mitstamek viraloi, which means that the longer you keep it on the fire, the more it will evaporate and it's likely to burn. So for that reason, it's unlikely that you're going to want to keep it on the fire. And if you do put it on the fire, that would not be considered a normal way of cooking. So for that reason, if it's primarily solid, we'll consider it a solid because you're not going to want to keep it on the fire for a while. Digletal takes a different approach. His approach is, how do you relate to the food? He says, if something is primarily a solid, you'll consider it a solid. If something's primarily a liquid, you'll consider it a liquid. So your cooking of the liquid along with the solid, he takes as a dovar she'ena miskaving, as something which you're not primarily intending to do. You're primarily intending to cook the salad. It happens to be there's liquid there, so the liquid's coming along for the ride. A third approach is that of Yosef Rimon, and he says that we take this to be bitul birov. Meaning to say, there's a general klal, a general rule in halacha, halich acharov, follow the majority. So given that the majority of the dish is a solid food, we'll follow the solid food. And if it's the case that the majority of the dish is a liquid, we'll consider the dish to be a liquid. So how do we rule? How do we paskin? Svardim, following Rav Avadah Yosef, will say that we should follow the majority of the food. If most of it is solid, we'll consider it a solid. And if most of it is liquid, we'll consider it a liquid. Practically speaking, though, Ashkenazim are going to have a much more stringent view. And first, let's look at the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, which is the Chabad Psak. And the normative Chabad Psak is actually very, very stringent when it comes to heating up solid foods on Shabbos day. Now, the Alter Rebbe wrote a book called Shulchan Aruch Harav, which is his recapitulation of many parts of Shulchan Aruch and the record of his opinions in Shulchan Aruch. But he also wrote a number of other halachic works. Many of them are included in the Alter Rebbe's Siddur in the prayer book, and he has a lot of halachic opinions about tefillah. But in the back of the Siddur, there's a one-page essay called Hilchas Rabasa L'Shabbata, which is the great halachas of Shabbos, where the Alter Rebbe records a number of interesting chumras in various issues. The last paragraph talks about things which relate to bishul, relate to cooking on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav's opinion when it comes to reheating solid foods on Shabbos is that you can only heat a dish which is completely dry on Shabbos. Let's see the Hilchos Arbasa Shabbos inside. If you have a siddur Tilas Hashem, it should be at the back of the siddur. So the Alter Rebbe says, Afal pi she'ein bishul achar bishul b'davar yavish. Although it's the case, there's no problem to recook a solid food. Mikol makim im choyzer v'nimcha v'menu k'tzas, yesh boi mishum bishul achar bishul b'lachluch is hamachoi. So even though we say there's no issue to recook a salad, nonetheless, if something will liquefy from the food when you reheat it, there is an issue of recooking with this liquefied liquid which comes out of the dish. So let's see if it becomes hot. So the Alter Rebbe says, La Locha, you have to be careful, very careful, not to reheat meat or chicken if it's the case that their fat is going to heat up and it'll become Yatzalevitzbo, the liquid will become so hot that your head would recoil from it. And he says that this would be a violation of a biblical prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. Similarly, Rav Chaim Noah, who was a significant Chabad posek, who lived at the end of the 19th century and in the early 20th century, says that if you want to heat up a solid dish on Shabbos, it has to be completely dry. And if there's any liquid at all, he takes that to be problematic. However, he suggests that if it's the case that the liquid wouldn't confer liquid something else, meaning let's say that if you touch the chicken, if it would feel wet to the touch, but your hand would not become wet, maybe you would be able to heat it up. The Mishnah Berurah takes an approach which is more lenient than the Shulchan Aruch Rav, but still more strict than Avad Yosef. The Mishnah Berurah tells us that you shouldn't leave any sauce on your chicken, but you don't need to dry it off. And all you need to do is to pour out any liquid that's on the chicken that you want to reheat or the beef that you want to reheat. So he says, "V'hu yavish." What's the definition of dry? All it means is that you emptied out the soup, the soupy stuff that was along with your chicken or your meat. That's also what seems to emerge from the Shulchan Aruch himself. In Simon Shimon Chesif Tefzvah, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Davar shen is bashal kol tzarkai, v'hu yavish shein be'mark." What's considered a solid food? It's solid if it doesn't have any soupy accompaniment to it, no, any soupy stuff with it. And that seems to be the practical halacha, that you should remove all of the liquid, but you don't need to wipe off liquid from the chicken. Meaning, if there's liquid in the pan, take off the liquid, but you don't need to take a napkin or a paper towel and wipe off the meat itself. And any liquid that's on the meat itself is considered bottle, is considered nullified with respect to the dish. And it happens to be that the contemporary Haredi poskim, like Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Eliyashiv, are lenient following the Mishnah Berurah. And they say, so long as there's no soupy mixture along with your salad is considered a salad, and that's unlike the more stringent opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So that covers our discussion of dishes which are a mixture of solid and liquid. But what about dishes which are themselves not a mixture of solid and liquid, but seem to be in the liminal space? They seem to be in between a solid and liquid. Let's say like a puree or ketchup, or a very practical question, shalot on Shabbos. Do we consider shalot on Shabbos to be a solid or a liquid? So Rav Moshe finds and he gives us two criteria. One, he says, if something would stand without the walls of a container, then it's considered to be a davar yavish, considered to be a salad. So meaning, let's say that you have a puree, if you put your puree on a plate, and the puree would all fall to the bottom of the plate and spill over the rim, then that would be considered a liquid. But if your puree would stand in a jello-like fashion, in the middle of the plate, that would be considered a salad, that would be considered a davar yavish. Similarly, if your chalent would stand in place on a plate, it would be considered a davar yavish, whereas if it would spread out, it would be considered a davar lach, it would be considered a liquid. Another criteria that Moshe gives us to test whether something is considered a davar lach or a davar yavish is, does it pour? If you try to pour it from container to container, does it flow? Or does it fall out in little chunks? So if it flows, then we consider it a liquid, we consider it a davar lach. But if it falls in chunks, we consider it a davar yavish, we consider it a salad. Another practical bishul b'shabbos application, or bishul achar bishul question, comes up by tea. Is it permissible to make tea on Shabbos, and what's the best way to make tea on Shabbos? So in the discussion of Kalim, of Kli Rishon, we saw that it's forbidden to put a uncooked tea bag into a Kli Rishon, not even into a Kli Sheni, because it's possible that a tea bag is a Kali HaBishul. It's one of those things that easily cooks, and will easily cook even a Kli Sheni. When it came to a Kli Shlishi, we saw that Igros Moshe is lenient when it comes to putting tea into a Kli Shlishi, whereas the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chazon Ish and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa all said that even in a Kli Shlishi, since a Kli Shlishi is hot, if you put a tea bag into a Kli Shlishi, it'll cook even in a Kli Shlishi. What if you poured hot water onto tea bags on Erev Shabbos? Would you be allowed to re-pour boiling water on the tea bags on Shabbos itself? Meaning, would these tea bags be considered cooked? So the Mishnah Berurah says that if you poured the water on the tea bag on Erev Shabbos, presumably we would consider the tea bags to be cooked. And if you put the tea bag, if you poured hot water on the tea bags on Shabbos itself, there would be no problems. There's no issue of bishul achar bishul. There's no issue of recooking. But he concludes that it's best to be stringent. It's best not to do this. The reason being that when you pour onto a substance, we said that iruy, pouring, only cooks the outermost layer. So the concern is that although it's the case you might have cooked part of the tea bag, one layer of the tea bag, when you then pour water on it again on Shabbos, you might recook a layer, you might cook for the first time a layer which had not yet been cooked. Let's say instead of pouring water onto the tea bags, you had cooked tea leaves in a Kli Rishon on Erev Shabbos. So it would seem then that if you put them into a kli sheni, there would be no problem on Shabbos itself, since they're already cooked, since ein bishul acher bishul. However, even here the Mishnah Berurah says to be stringent, and in the Shaar Tzion there, the Mishnah Berurah tells us in the name of the Pischi Tshuva that tea leaves are always subject to cooking. No matter how many times you cook or re-cook the tea leaves, they're going to be cookable, because the whole purpose of tea leaves is to add taste to the water. So it doesn't matter if you cook them once, if you re-cook them, they'll still have added taste. So how then should you make tea on Shabbos? We saw that Gris Moshe says that you're allowed to put a tea bag into a kli shlishi, but we see that there are a lot of authorities who don't like this, and even though you can definitely rely on the Gris Moshe, the Mishnah Berurah who comes before the Gris Moshe suggests a different approach as to how to best make tea on Shabbos. So he says what you should do is you should make tea concentrate, which is colloquially known as tea essence. So Mishnah Berurah says, Kasra achorinim etz mevcheres, the achorinim wrote, the best thing to do is, shiatakein ha-essence me'erev Shabbos l'gamri, that you make your tea essence, or you make your tea concentrate on Erev Shabbos, shlo yitztarich laris deichei eidreischin l'machar b'Shabbos, in order that you don't have to pour any hot water onto your tea on Shabbos. U'lamachar kishistarich lishtois, when you want to drink tea, yitein ha-essence ha-toinin l'toich akois shesoy sabay, so what he says is do the following. Pour hot water from your urn into a cup. Now that cup is going to be a cliche. Next, pour your cold tea concentrate into the cliche. Uksha essence shalai ain't so name, who they call this. But then the Mishnah Berurah says, although it's the case that you're allowed to pour cold tea essence, cold tea concentrate into your hot klisheni, it's even better if your tea essence is hot, because then you have one hot liquid going to another hot liquid, and then there's going to be no question of bishul acher bishul according to anyone. In summary, the best way to make tea on Shabbos is to cook your tea bags on Erev Shabbos, and then use the concentrate that comes from cooking a lot of tea bags in a small amount of water to pour the concentrate into the liquid in a cliche. However, you can be even more lenient and just pour hot water onto the tea bags and create your tea essence, create your tea concentrate that way. And if you want to use a tea bag itself, Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that it would be permissible to put it into a kli shlishi. However, the Chazon Ish is machmir on this. So that's all for the discussion of bishul acher bishul, of re-cooking tea on Shabbos. Now let's go back to an issue that we were discussing before about what the threshold for something to be considered solid or liquid is. And although we discussed this, we'll discuss it now at greater length. So what's the concern, or is there a concern, if you're re-cooking something which is solid now, but it's going to turn into a liquid? For example, moving back to an example we gave before, you made a barbecue. And you had made chicken, hot dogs, and steak. And the chicken, hot dogs, and steak were all hot on the fire. They're all solids. But now you put them into a pan, and you have congealed fat on your meat. And then when you reheat your meat on Shabbos day by putting it on the hot plate, you'd have a nice pool of fat and oil flowing from the meat. So is that problematic? Is that considered bishul acher bishul b'davar lach? Is that considered re-cooking a liquid? Or is it considered bishul acher bishul b'davar yavesh, since right now the fat is congealed? The Beis Yosef discusses a baked food called an empanada. People in the U.S. are probably familiar with empanadas. If you live in Washington Heights, the home of YU, you'll see a lot of empanada stands in the street, particularly during the summer. What empanada was, or is a folded pie, a folded dough, with congealed fat inside of it. And when you heat it up, the fat melts and becomes a liquid. The Beis Yosef, according to Bala Truma, says that it's forbidden to heat up such a dish, such an empanada, because of nolad, because you're generating a new substance on Shabbos. However, most Rishonim did permit heating up an empanada on Shabbos, and they said there's no issue of nolad here, no issue of generating something new. And La Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Shinur Dechas, Sifta Zayin, rules leniently and says that you would be able to reheat an empanada on Shabbos. He says like this, Mutr lita empanada kenegat ha'esh b'mokim shayad zalebes. it's permissible to put an empanada close to the fire, even if your hand would recoil, meaning it's a hot place on your hot plate or your blech. But afal pisha shuman shabal shenikrash choyziv nimuach. Even though it's the case that the fat that was in the empanada, which had congealed, will now melt. In contrast, both the Lavush and the Taz disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. The Lavush tries to argue that our version of the Shulchan Aruch is incorrect, and that the Shulchan Aruch himself would have never agreed such a thing. And that really, both the Taz and Lavush say that reheating a solid fat, which is going to liquefy when you reheat it, would be considered cooking on Shabbos and is therefore forbidden. However, the Magen Avraham and most Achronim reject this view of the Taz, and they concluded that we can accept the Shulchan Aruch as is, and that you can reheat your empanada on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah follows his lenient view, and he writes, "Vatam shemutra." The reason why it's permitted to heat up your empanada on Shabbos is the kevin shu yavesh, even though it's a salad, afshin itztanin lo yishayich mebishaloid. Even though it's cooled, there's no further concern of recooking it. Afal bishachum shashuman choyzev nimuach. And even though it's the case that the fat is going to melt, mikol melach or mikol yavesh, it's nonetheless called a salad. Kevin shebishashin zlecham loy loynim chadayin. Given that when you put it to be heated up, it was not yet melted, meaning that we judge the food based off how it was when you put it on the fire, not how it will be after it was on the fire for a while. So if your food right now is a solid, even though it will later become a liquid after it had been in the fire for a few minutes, we consider it a solid based on its status at the time of putting it on the fire. Now the Chayei Adam, who's a very significant Ashkenazi posuk, says that you cannot do this. You cannot put a solid fat, which is going to melt, on the fire, and only can do it in a case of great need. However, as we said, the Mishnah Berurah is mekel, the Mishnah is lenient, the Chazon Ish, Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yosef, they're all lenient when it comes to putting congealed fat on a stovetop, on a fire. And interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, at least in the text of Shulchan Aruch HaRav, is lenient, but as we noted before, in Hilchos HaRabbas L'Shabbata, in the Siddur, which is how many Chabad goes for Psak Halacha, which is how Chabad rules, the Alter Rebbe would say that this case would definitely be problematic, that the congealed fat liquefying would be considered a case of recooking a liquid, which is forbidden. But notwithstanding the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's stringency, moving back to the majority opinion, which is lenient, what grounds this opinion, which says that it's okay to heat up congealed fat which will liquefy? So the simple answer is that the act of cooking is not defined by what happens in the process, but is rather defined by what you did at this moment. So if at the moment you put it on the fire, it's solid, it'll be considered a solid relative to your action. And the fact that it liquefies afterwards is not something that you did, it's just something that emerged as a result of it being on the fire. And Rav Akiva Eiger says, "Kshaminicha etzal eish hu karush." When you put it on the fire, it was congealed. And afterwards, when it liquefies, you haven't done anything to cause it to liquefy. So even though it's the case, however, that there's no issue of bishul by an empanada, there's no issue of bishul of cooking something which has congealed fat in it, the Rama takes issue on a different grounds, which are molid, which is that you're generating something new on Shabbos that wasn't there before. Meaning before you had a solid, now you have a liquid. So although it's not bishul, it is molid. So it will come out that according to the Rama, it would be forbidden to heat up congealed fat on Shabbos. However, here, we have to make a distinction between congealed fat, or the liquid from the congealed fat, which is going to be obvious, meaning if there'll be a lot of it, or if there'll only be a little bit. Because the definition of molid is only something which is recognizable. So if you have a little bit of congealed fat, it would be okay to heat up the dish. But if you have a lot of congealed fat, and the congealed fat is going to become a recognizable pool of liquid, that would be an issue. And the Mishnah Berurah spells this out. Let's see him inside. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yud Ches of Katan Kofei writes, "Vida she'afilu la yesh machmirin, einei osur ki'im kishish harbe shuman ala pashtida." Even according to the more stringent opinions, there's no issue to reheat your empanada, to reheat your baked good with congealed fat, only if there's a lot of fat inside of it. Such that when you heat it up, it'll flow out and it'll be recognizable in its own right. Aval, im ein ala pashtid kol kach shuman, but if your baked good does not have so much fat, everyone would agree that you'd be able to heat it up. And even though it's the case that you have a little bit of fat from the meat that's inside of it, it's only a little bit, and everybody would permit it. And similarly, the Mishnah Berurah says explicitly, you are able to heat up on Shabbos fatty cuts of meat, even though a little bit flows out. Given that it's only a little bit of fat that's melting, that's okay, and is therefore permitted. The Shulchan Aruch takes a much more lenient view in Shin Yud Ches Siftes Zayin, and in Shin Chof Siftes, the Shulchan Aruch says there's no issue of molid, of generating a new substance by heating up this pie. And therefore, Svaridim would be able to heat up a dish with congealed fat, just like they'd be able to heat up any other solid food, even if you have a lot of congealed fat and you'll have a nice soupy gathering at the bottom of the dish. The Ramah says you can be lenient on melting congealed fat in a case of great need. And therefore, if you have somebody who's ill or there's some other very significant need, like let's say there's no other meat to eat that day on Shabbos, then even Ashkenaz would be able to be lenient and heat up a dish with a lot of congealed fat. And after the fact, even if there wasn't any great need, if you did in fact heat up a dish with a lot of congealed fat and it melted, you'd be able to eat the dish. Practically speaking, what should Ashkenazim do in a case of heating up meat with congealed fat in it? So the best thing to do is to take the chicken out of the fat, out of the sauce before Shabbos, and put it into another container in order to heat it up without any sauce or just with a little bit of sauce that's left on it. Let's say it's on Shabbos already and your chicken's in a very saucy dish. So it would be problematic to pour out the sauce because that would be boring, or taking out the thing you don't want and leaving the thing you do want. So instead, take the chicken out of the sauce and put the chicken into another container. And then you can put the chicken onto the hot plate and heat it up, even though a little bit of sauce will in fact congeal and liquefy. Another idea is that you can take the chicken, which is covered in congealed sauce, and put it on a bed of rice. And here, you're going to get around the molid issue, because the rice is going to soak up a lot of the liquid that was produced by heating up your chicken. And as a result, the nola, the new product that was made, is not going to be nicker, is not going to be recognizable. In summary, if you have a dish, like say a chicken, with congealed fat or congealed sauce, most poskim hold there's no concern of bishul. Note that Shulchan Aruch Rav does think there's an issue of bishul, but the majority of poskim think there's no issue of bishul, even though the solid sauce, the congealed sauce, is going to turn into a liquid, and the Mishnah Berurah rules that there's no issue of bishul here at all. Therefore, Svaridim would be able to heat up a dish with a lot of congealed sauce. However, Ashkenazim aren't concerned for the issue of bishul, but they are concerned for the issue of molid generating something new on Shabbos. And therefore, there would be a problem if you're turning congealed sauce into a liquid on Shabbos. However, the Ashkenazim will be lenient if you only have a little bit of sauce, because then the sauce isn't recognizable. Also, if the sauce will be absorbed by some other food, like by rice, and will still not be recognizable, then that's also okay, that's not a problem. In a case of need, it would be okay, even if you had a lot of congealed sauce, to heat up a food and liquefy that sauce, meaning if you had somebody who's sick, or if you have no other meat to eat on Shabbos day. And finally, if you went ahead and did heat up a dish with congealed sauce on Shabbos, it would be permissible to eat it after the fact. Another common bishul acher bishul issue comes up with powders or granulated foods, like salt or sugar or instant coffee. Many of these things have been previously cooked and they come to us in granulated form. And the bishul acher bishul question is, what's the status of putting these granulated foods into hot water? If you put them into a kli rishon, would that be considered bishul acher bishul? Would that be considered recooking a dover lach, a liquid, since the salt or the sugar were once in liquefied form? Or would it be considered bishul acher bishul, recooking a dover yavesh, recooking a solid food, since now they're in a solid form? The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, brings up a dispute with respect to uncooked salt. The Gemara says, Sovra v'yisuf l'meimar melach hariyu kitavlin. Rav Yisuf thought to say that salt is like a spice, the beklirishon b'shelo, that in a klirishon, we said the rule is that spices cook. Uvikli sheni, but in a klisheni loy b'shelo, it would not cook. Amrle Abaye, Abaye responded, Tani Rabbi Chiya Melech in a Ketavlin, Dibiklisheni Nam Bishela. So Abaye said that no, Rabbi Chiya taught a more stringent view, and that really salt is not like spices, or it's not like other spices, in that it even cooks in a klisheni, in which case salt would be one of the kali habishal, would be one of those things which easily cooks. But then the Gemara quotes a polar opposite opinion. The Gemara says, Igadamri, others say, others record the exchange as follows, that Tani Rabbi Chiya, Abaye quoted Rabbi Chiya as saying, Melach ain't a ketavlin. Salt is not like other spices, in that the Bekli Rishon namin lebeshela. It doesn't even cook in a Kli Rishon. V'hainu dam Rav Nachman, that explains Rav Nachman's teaching, Tzricha milcha bishula kibisra the Torah. Salt needs heavy cooking, just as oxmeat does. So, according to the first opinion of the Gemara, it would be forbidden to even put salt into a klisheni because it's kali habishul. Whereas, according to the second opinion, it would be permissible even to put salt into a kli rishon, which is removed from the fire, given that it needs to be heavily cooked, and salt would only cook, according to this opinion, if it were directly on the fire itself, and not in a kli, which had once been on the fire. It has to be on the fire itself. Tosfos there on the Gemara rules that, in principle, the halacha follows the second opinion, meaning to say that you'd be able to put salt even in a kli rishon, which is not currently on the fire. However, he says it's best to be stringent, like the first opinion, which says don't even put salt into a kli sheni. Reading this inside, this says, "Umitoich kach, pasuk kamei Shmuel shemuter lasis melech b'tavshel b'shabbes afilu b'kli rishon shavira min or." Rabbi Shmuel ruled that in principle it's permissible to put salt even in a kli rishon, which is removed from the fire on Shabbos. But somebody wants to be stringent like the first opinion, not to put salt into a klisheni so long as the hand would recoil from the klisheni, such a person is behaving well, such a person should be blessed. So this is saying that in principle you would be even be able to put salt into a klisheni which is removed from the fire, but it's best to be stringent and not to put it even into a klisheni. The Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Yud Ches Siftes says that you could even put salt in a kli rishon which was removed from the fire. Meaning, for example, let's say you had chicken soup on the fire. If you take the chicken soup off the fire, you'd be directly able to put spices into that pot, or at least put salt directly into the pot, and you wouldn't have to worry about only putting in the spices in your bowl. The Shulchan Aruch writes, kli rishon, afilu la'achai sheviru me'ala eish, a kli rishon, even after it was removed from the fire, mivashel kolz man shehetz l'soleh display. It still cooks so long as the hands recoil from it. Lefikach, for this reason, osur litein l'soleh ketavon. You're not allowed to put spices into the kli. Aval melech, but salt, mutter litein l'teicha, you may put into your kli rishon, kevin shevru mal'eish, once you remove from the fire. And why? So the Shulchan Aruch cites the Gemara's rationale, titzricha milcha bishula kibisu d'tura. Salt needs heavy cooking, just like ox meat, and the contention being that salt will only cook on a kli rishon which is currently on the fire, not in a kli rishon which was once on the fire. In contrast, the Ramah cites Tosfos and says that it's best even to be stringent by a kli sheni. He says, "V'ish oisur moses malach afil b'kli sheni, kolz man she'atzal v'sbay." Some forbid even putting salt into a kli sheni, so long as the hands recoil from it. Machmir and someone who's stringent, tavi al bracha. Is doing a good thing. So what we've said so far is all relevant when it comes to salt that's mined and has never been cooked. But what about contemporary salt? Much contemporary salt is made from salt water, and then the salt water is cooked and dehydrated in order to produce the salt. So the Magen Avraham writes, "V'nira li demelach she'oisimi mayim she'mevashen esam ein bay mishum bishul, the ein bishul acher bishul." So the Magen Avraham says that this salt, which you make by dehydrating seawater, isn't subject to a prohibition of cooking, because in bishlach bishul, there is no concern with recooking things. The Shari Tshuva expands the Magen Avraham's reasoning to include sugar. And he says that sugar as well would not be subject to the prohibition of bishul achar bishul. He says, Shatzuker, sugar, kvarnis bashal beis uman, it was already cooked in the factory. The ein bishul achar bishul b'davar yavish, and there's no concern of recooking a solid food because the sugar, after all, is a solid item. Afshat tzukani muach ein leidin yavish. Although it's the case that the sugar melts, it doesn't have the status of a solid food. Umutu litirat zucker after kli rishon. Therefore, it's permissible to put the sugar even in a kli rishon. Similarly, the Mishnah Berurah rules that when it comes to all powdered foods or granulated foods like salt, sugar, instant coffee, and the like, it would be okay to put them into a kli rishon which is not on the fire, but it's best to refrain from doing so. He says, Melach she'osni mayim she'mevashen esam, ein bei mishum bishul l'kulei alma. When it comes to salt, which is made from dehydrated water, nobody thinks that that's subject to the prohibition of bishul. They ain't bishul achar bishul, because there's no concern to recook something. V'chein b'tzucker, and so too by sugar. Mutra me'etayma litnei b'kli rishon. It's permissible for the same reason to put it into kli rishon. La'achar shaviru min'aish, after it's been removed from the fire. V'yesh m'fashim b'fakafakin b'zeh, but some, says the Mishnah Berurah, are unsure about this. V'tov li'zar b'kli rishon l'chil. And therefore it's best not to put granulated or powdered foods, which once cooked, into a kli rishon, only into kli sheni. Thing is, we don't understand why is it that the Mishnah Berurah says that it's best to be stringent in this case. In a similar case, it seems that the Mishnah Berurah is lenient. When it came to our discussion of congealed sauce or congealed fat, the Mishnah Berurah said that even though this sauce or fat turns from a solid into a liquid, you'd be able to heat it up, or at least you'd be able to heat up the little bit that's on the chicken, not the entire pot of sauce. But whatever the case may be, the Mishnah Berurah does not take issue with a solid turning into a liquid. Why then does the Mishnah Berurah say it's a problem to put your salt, your solid salt, into a solution where it's going to melt? So the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar HaTzion explains as follows. Kain kosav be'el yirab gabi melech. The yisur hu me'der abanub, they should nir kemevashel, v'hu adin gabi tzucker. Meaning to say that the issue with putting salt into your pot is not that you're melting this, is not that you're melting the salt, but rather because it looks as if you're cooking it. Rav Yirmiyahu explains that the concern is that the moment you put the salt in, you put the sugar in, it immediately melts on contact in the kli rishon. And if you put other foods into a kli rishon, that would be considered cooking. So here too, since it melts on contact, people might think that it's permissible to cook in a kli rishon on Shabbos. Practically speaking, Rav Yirmiyahu rules that it's best only to put your salt or your sugar into a kli sheni. However, in a case of need, you'd be able to put it even into a kli rishon that was removed from the fire. At this point, however, we should note that Chabad Psak is a little bit more chomor. If you look in the Alter Rebbe's Hilchos HaRabbasa LeShabbata, which you can find in the back of Sidur Tehillos Hashem, or if you look in the in-text for Hilchos HaRabbasa LeShabbata, this issue of sugar, melting sugar and salt in a kli rishon is one of the two bishul issues that the Alter Rebbe addresses. Interestingly, both of them have to do with bishul achar bishul. He says, V'chein shalei lishpech b'kli rishon shayad silev b'zbay al tzucker. Ki me'achar shayad tzucker nimcha yesh b'y mishum bishul. The Alter Rebbe says, don't pour from a kli rishon onto sugar, because given that the sugar melts, it has the status of bishul. Meaning to say, it seems the Alter Rebbe holds that the sugar becomes a liquid, and it judges a liquid, and we say yesh bishul achar bishul, there is a concern of recooking a davar lach. And then the Alter Rebbe continues, V'lochein ein lohakel b'me'al shalanu, af shenizbash al t'chila. Similarly, you should not be lenient when it comes to our salt, even though the salt that we have nowadays is generally first cooked. Given that it melts when you pour water onto it and put it into water, you shouldn't be any more lenient than salt that was never cooked and salt which was raw. And the Alter Rebbe continues, that there are some opinions in Shulchan Aruch who say that it's even problematic to put salt, as in raw salt, into a kli sheni, which is Yad Tzilat Zbay. And somebody who is stringent on this issue should be blessed. Two final applications of bishul achar bishul, of recooking, come up by a dover gush, a concept we discussed in the last year of problem cases of kelim. A dover gush is a solid food, and the contention is that a solid food will retain its heat, so a solid food might be more along the lines of a kli rishon, even after it's been removed from its kli rishon. Those two cases are, is it permissible to sprinkle salt on a davar gush? Because the salt is going to melt on the davar gush. So for example, could you sprinkle salt on a hot potato when the salt will melt on the hot potato? And also, would you be able to spread butter on a hot potato when the assumption is that the butter will melt on that potato? So we saw that La Halacha, Ashkenazim consider a Dever Gush to be a Kli Rishon, even if it's currently in a Kli Sheni or Kli Shlishi. However, when it comes to sprinkling powdered or granulated foods onto the Dever Gush, there might be more grounds for leniency. And that's for two reasons. First of all, we said most opinions will allow you to sprinkle these previously cooked powdered or granulated foods even into a Kli Rishon. And number two, even if you're going to be stringent about putting these things into a Kli Rishon, like the Yesh Umim and Shulchan Aruch, and like the Ramah, many Rishonim still hold that a Dever Gush is considered like Kli Sheni. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach offers different grounds for being lenient about sprinkling salt on your hot potato. He says, the kevan delay nomes hamelech, given that the salt doesn't melt, the gam mashanimes in nikolaydia, and that which it has melted is not so recognizable, leis on the mechash, there's no reason to be concerned about it. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, given that the salt doesn't melt, but is rather absorbed, and whatever it does melt is not recognizable, there's no concern here. It seems that Rav Shlomo Zalman's assumption is the issue of bishul achar bishul bedavar lach by a liquid only would come up if the thing in question turns into a liquid. But here, by the salt, where the salt melts, or the salt is absorbed, the salt does not turn into a recognizable liquid, and therefore there wouldn't be any concern of bishul achar bishul. Either way, whether we follow Rav Rimon's rationale for leniency or whether we follow Rav Shlomo Zalman's rationale for leniency, it would be permissible to sprinkle table salt onto your boiling hot potato. When it comes to sprinkling raw salt, as in salt that had been mined and never been cooked, the Gusmush says that even here it would be permissible to sprinkle such salt onto your hot potato. And the reason being that we don't necessarily take Dever Gush so seriously as a Kalushim, but nonetheless, Hamachmir Tavi Alav Bracha. It's best to be stringent and not put mined uncooked salt onto your hot potato. What about melting butter on a hot potato? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's permissible. Let's read Rav Moshe Chov inside. He says, "Ha'im mutter liten chema al davar gush cham v'kli sheni." Is it permissible to put butter onto a hot, thick item, a hot, solid item, like a hot potato, in a kli sheni? Rav Moshe answers, "Hine chema b'medina zu shenaisa mecholov shemivashen tchila shnukra pasteurizer." Butter in our country, meaning in America, which is made out of milk, which was first cooked, which is pasteurized, if the pasteurization was done at a measure of Yad Soledes, so just note that contemporary low-heat pasteurization is at around 150, so that does satisfy the requirements of Yad Soledes, then the butter is made out of cooked milk. When we came in Shenikrash, and since now it's congealed or it's hardened, it's considered like a solid food, which is not subject to the prohibition of bishul. As the Magen Avraham explains, linyan shuman shnikresh, when it comes to congealed or hardened fat, the nice at the yavesh, the ein bay mishum bishul. Given that it's now solid, it's not subject to the prohibition of bishul. The afshani mayach, and even if it later will melt when you heat it up and liquefy leichraslan. And that's in fact the reality when it comes to butter in America. So to summarize, Moshe's view is, this is an Igros Moshe, Chelek Dalad, Simon Ayin Dalad, Bishul Vav. He says that it's totally permissible to melt butter on a hot potato on Shabbos. The reason being is that we say that the butter was already cooked and the milk was made from it pasteurized. So in Bishul Acher Bishul. And if you'll say the milk is a liquid, well now the butter is a solid. So ein bishul achar bishul is no concern of recooking a davar yavesh. And even though the butter is going to melt and turn into a davar lach, we already established in Shulchan Aruch that something which is solid now but will melt has the status of a solid based on its state at the time that you put it on the hot object. In contrast, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach forbids melting butter on your hot potato on Shabbos. His student, Rav Yaakov Neubert, in the Shmiras Shabbos Hilchos, quotes him as follows. Shemaiti Megrashaz Orbach, I heard from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Efshir Shiyesh Lahachmir Gam Bechema Hanaisis Mecholov Mifustar. That perhaps should be lenient when it comes to butter, which is made from pasteurized milk. Kaven Shinsbash Larak Peshais Acholov, Vukvar Nistaner Lagamri, that since it was cooked at the time that it was milk and is now completely cooled, the Achshav Shodni Mucha, Ayidi Bishul Achem of Havalach. And now it's now again melted through cooking and becomes a liquid. The kaimalon that we rule, the yesh bishul acher bishul bin tzan legamri, that there is an issue of recooking a liquid which is completely cool. V'leidami la de pasuk ha-Magen Avraham, and this is similar to the Magen Avraham's ruling, that in impanada dazlin basar hashta. In the case of the empanada, remember the empanada was that piece of folded pastry with some congealed fat inside of it. And we said, Zlina bar Hasar Hashta, we follow its current state, Vedina Kedavar Yavesh, and its status is of a solid food. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach said, you can't compare the butter to the empanada. The Shlomo, one could contend, the shiny Hasam, that the empanada is different. The Mitivai, because naturally, after it cools off, it hardens. And therefore, the fat or the oil in the empanada, since it naturally hardens, can properly be considered a solid food. Which is not true of milk, which was cooked and then it cooled. Legamri completely apaka and bishulei, and it completely lost its cooked status. And afterwards, you turn the milk into butter. And it had never been cooked as butter. And then once the butter's been cooked, it becomes a liquid. Effectively, Rishon Mazalman's reasoning is as follows. He says, given that the milk had cooled off after the pasteurization, it's considered as if it had never been cooked. It loses its cooked status. So when you make it into butter afterwards, the butter is considered a raw substance. The butter had never been cooked. And although it's the case that by the empanada, where you had oil, fatty oil inside of your pie, and then the fatty oil congealed, when you recook the fatty oil and it liquefies, we say that that's permissible. There, says Shlomo Zalman, the empanada would the oil within the empanada would naturally harden as a result of the empanada cooling off. In contrast, the butter, which is made from the milk, doesn't naturally harden. You need to do an artificial process in order to turn it into a solid. But despite this whole rationale, Rav Shlomo Zalman ends by saying, you know, maybe you actually can be lenient when it comes to melting butter. Practically speaking, Rav Yimon is lenient here when it comes to melting butter on your potato. And he says for two reasons. First of all, it's quite possible that a davar gush, a solid food, is not capable of cooking. And second, many Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Ramban, hold that ein bishul acher bishul is no issue of recooking a liquid food. So given that melting the butter on the potato will run into two controversies in the Rishonim, we're going to be lenient in the context of putting butter on your hot potato on Shabbos. So that ends our discussion of bishul acher bishul, of the prohibition, and in some cases the leniency, when it comes to recooking on Shabbos. Now, since we covered a lot of ground, let's summarize. The discussion was, is there an issue of bishul acher bishul? If something had once been cooked, is there a problem if you recook it? So we saw that by a davar yavesh, by a solid food, everybody agrees that ein bishul acher bishul is no concern, there's no problem with recooking the solid food. I mean, you would be able to put your once cooked piece of chicken on a hot plate in Shabbos, and even if it cooled completely, there wouldn't be any issue. By a davar lach, by a liquid food, which had once been cooked and is now cooled, or is in the process of cooling, we saw things are a little bit more complex. According to the Rambam and the Ramban, here again, there's no issue of recooking a liquid, even if the liquid had cooled. So, according to the Rambam and the Ramban, you'd be allowed to reheat a cooled-off chicken soup on Shabbos day by putting the chicken soup on a hot plate. However, that's not how we pass it. That's not how we rule. According to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Yonah, if a liquid has cooled off, it loses its having been cooked status, and it would be biblically forbidden to reheat it. And that's, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch rules. The Shulchan Aruch says the moment that a liquid has dropped below Yad Soledes, which for our purposes in this case will be 175 degrees, the moment that your soup has dropped below 175 degrees, it would be forbidden to reheat it. In contrast, however, the Ramah says that so long as your liquid is a little bit hot, it hasn't completely cooled off. The Shulchan Aruch formulates this as Adayin Roy Lechol Machmas Chamim Musay. It's still fitting to eat, given its heat, meaning somebody who wanted hot food would still eat it, but the Chazon Ish is even more lenient and says so long as it's still warm to the touch, even if somebody wouldn't eat it as a hot soup, so they wouldn't find it to be a tasty hot soup. The Rama says that so long as it hasn't dropped below the threshold, it would be permissible to reheat the liquid. And everybody agrees that you'd be able to put a once cooked but now cold liquid into a kli sheni. So therefore, you'd be allowed to say put tea essence, to put tea concentrate, which is now cold but it once been cooked, into a hot kli sheni. So now we've distinguished between a davar lach and a davar yavesh, a solid and a liquid. What about a mixture of solid and liquid? You have a solid food with sauce, let's say meatballs and sauce. Do we consider that a solid for bishul achar bishul? Do we consider that a liquid for the purpose of bishul achar bishul? So the Minchas Kohen and Rav Avadya Yosef say that something which is primarily, which is mostly a solid is considered a solid, and something which is mostly a liquid is considered a liquid. So if your meatball soup is 60% meatballs and 40% sauce, you would be able, according to Rav Avadya, to reheat it on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah Berurah is more stringent here, and the Mishnah Berurah says that you should put the liquid on the side, and you should only heat up the meatballs without the excess sauce. And then we saw that in the Hilchas Rabbata L'Shabbata, the Shulchan Aruch Rav is extremely stringent on this point, and he says even if there's no perceptible sauce on the meat right now, if the meat is going to produce liquid in its heating up process, you shouldn't heat it up. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav effectively forecloses heating up most solid foods on Shabbos. When it comes to something with a thick consistency like cholent, Rav Moshe was lenient and says that a cholent is considered a salad if the cholent will stand on its own. If you put it onto a plate, if it would stand on its own, then it would be considered a solid. However, if it spreads the sides of the plate, then it'll be considered a liquid. What if you have a food that's completely solid, but a lot of the solid part of the food is congealed, and when you heat it up, it's going to melt and turn into a liquid? Is it permitted to heat up that food even though it's going to melt, and now you'll have both a solid and a liquid on your hands? So the Levush and the Taz are stringent here, and they say that this is considered a davar lach, this is considered a liquid, and it would be forbidden to reheat it. And we saw the Shulchan Aruch Rav holds that way as well. However, the more widely accepted view is that of the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, who say that if the entire food is solid now, and the part of it is congealed fat which will melt, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah both say that that's considered a davar yavesh, that food's considered a solid, and that's in fact how we rule. And here there's a dispute about just how lenient we are. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you can heat up your barbecue from last night, your barbecue from Friday night, without any limitation, even if it's going to produce a lot of soupy stuff at the bottom of the pot. Whereas the Rama thinks that there's an issue of molid. There's an issue of generating something that wasn't here before. And therefore, he says that even though it's not an issue of bishul, ideally, you shouldn't reheat this meat, which is going to produce sauce on Shabbos, unless there's a great need. Let's say there's somebody who's sick, or you don't have any other hot food to eat on Shabbos, or it's Suds Mitzvah, and there won't be any meat at Suds Mitzvah. Alternatively, another good thing to do is to heat up the meat on a bed of rice so that all the liquid that comes out of the meat will be absorbed into the rice and you won't be producing any perceptible liquid. Next, we discussed powdered or granulated foods such as salt, sugar, and instant coffee, and asked, what's the rule about putting those foods into hot water? Would that be considered a case of turning them into a liquid, in which case you'd be violating bishul achar bishul v'davar lach? So the Mishnah Berurah said that in principle it would be okay to put these things even into a kli rishon. And just to clarify, that's a kli rishon that was removed from the fire. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that given this is a case of mechsi kemevashel, it would look like you're cooking if you put food into a kli rishon. It's best only to put your powdered foods into a kli sheni. The final topic we discussed was melting things on top of a davar gush, on top of a hot potato. And the question was if that too would be considered a case of bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, given that when you melt something, it turns into a liquid. So we saw this in the case of sprinkling salt onto a potato, and we said there's no concern with sprinkling salt onto the potato because the salt is absorbed into the potato and it doesn't liquefy, and whatever does liquefy of the salt is not so recognizable. And finally, in the case of butter, Rav Rimon was lenient to spread butter on your hot potato for two reasons. First of all, it's controversial as to whether a hot potato even is considered a Kli Rishon, because it's a Davar Gush, if it's not in a Kli Rishon right now. And second of all, it's a controversial question about whether we'll say Yesh Bishol Acher Bishol B'davar Lach to begin with. So for this reason, Rav Yimon was lenient on spreading butter onto your hot potato on Shabbos, even though it'll melt. And that is all for our advanced overview of Bishol Acher Bishol.